Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hate New York City. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Los Angeles Lakers being a contender is better for the NBA overall. They're one of those franchises that's a lightning rod. You either love them or you hate them. There's really no in between. The team hasn't made the playoffs since the 12-13 season.
Mamba out.
Here comes LeBron.
That's what real men do.
Magic Johnson's first big free agent and an opportunity to restore Lakers glory.
I'm Magic Johnson. I'm going to do my job.
All those eyeballs on Los Angeles, that just makes the sport so much more compelling and entertaining.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We're trying to keep you up to date. The latest, hottest news coming from baseball's winter meetings in Las Vegas. They are working through the night. Right now, it is 1 a.m. Vegas time, Pacific time, and the deals are still getting done, and the news is still taking over my Twitter at this hour, which I think is fun. I really love it when there's breaking news or there are sporting events that are going on while we're on the air. It happens on a fairly regular basis. You might not think it, especially if you're currently waking up on the East Coast and you're in a bit of a stupor. I get it. You think, what in the world could possibly be happening at 4 a.m. Eastern time? However, it's only 1 o'clock on the West Coast. It's only midnight in Alaska, and it's still Wednesday evening in Hawaii. So we do get a fair amount of breaking news or events that just have it wrapped up by the time we take the airwaves. Not to mention international events like World Cup or Olympics, or every now and then we'll get the tennis. We get a golf event that's going on too. So this is prime time in my world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I hope that all of the cough meds that I have inhaled, the cough drops that I've been sucking down, I'm now drinking this shake concoction, and I've got my Kleenex right next to me. I hope that it makes me sound as though I am conquering the cold. I feel like the cold is conquering me, mostly because I haven't been able to sleep since Monday. I did not sleep Wednesday, didn't really sleep Tuesday, but I'm hanging in there. I feel like I'm fighting it for all that I'm worth. And so if I'm a little nasally, that's why. But you know what? Christmas is coming, so I'm going to kick this puppy before it's time to bake. Saturday is the baking day. Cannot wait. And actually, I have a concert to go to on Friday night, and so I don't want to be sniffling during my concert. But if it means bringing the Kleenex with me and hugging them during the concert, then I will do it. But here's the problem. How do you blow your nose in an auditorium where it's beautiful classical music being played by a symphony? How do you do that exactly? I mean, I'm not one of those. There are two kinds of people in this world. Actually, there are three. People who don't blow their nose, which is kind of gross. I mean, you need to blow your nose. The second category of people is people who blow their nose daintily and quietly. That used to be me when I was younger because I thought, oh gosh, it's going to be embarrassing. And then there are people who just go for it. You just blow your nose. If you got to blow, man, you do a blow. Who cares whether or not it's loud? My sister-in-law makes so much fun of me because I'm a loud nose blower. This feels like a Seinfeld episode. But I don't care. If I need to blow my nose, I need to blow my nose.
That's what I was about to say. This is that Seinfeld episode where he puts the Pez dispenser on Elaine's leg during the classical concert, and she can't help it. She starts cracking up, and now she looks like, you know, the bad person. But, yeah. You know, what are you going to do? You got to laugh.
You do have to laugh, and you also have to blow your nose. And so I need to know what kind of category of person you are. Are you the kind of person that inhales your sneeze? Well, I try. If I'm in a quiet place like a church or a concert, you can choke down the sneeze. Who was that?
apparently we have a sneezing sound effect.
oh, it's cheating. I need to know what kind of a person you are. Dave, are you the non-blower? Are you the quiet blower? Are you the loud nose blower?
Just let it out.
Yeah,
just let it out.
Too.
It doesn't matter where I am.
I feel like it has to do with your age,
happening.
Too. Like, at some point, you just get to realize that it doesn't matter. Everyone blows their nose. It's like that book, Everyone Poops, but we don't talk about poop on this show. Hey, I'm just saying, it's a children's book. And once you realize that everyone goes to the bathroom, well, then you kind of feel like, okay, I mean, they're not nearly as amazing as I think they are.
Everyone goes to the bathroom?
Except that guy in the commercial, the State Farm commercial with Aaron Rodgers. Is that not the stupidest ad? Yes, because we really believe that you've never been in the bathroom in your entire life. Just so, ew. I mean, who wrote that? I'm sure they're very, it's very lucrative and they're a lot richer than I am. Brian, do you abstain from blowing your nose? Do you try to keep it quiet or do you just let it all out?
In public, I'm going to try and keep it quiet, but if I'm in my house, I'm letting it rip.
Okay.
But also,
I
got a trick for you.
Uh-huh.
If you're having trouble with the sinuses,
oh no,
make vegetables, pour the hot water out in the sink, and then breathe it in.
Oh, it's like a steam bath.
Yep, and it clears it up beautifully.
You know what else works? Chili, because I make my chili really spicy, so that kind of clears things out. And when I bring the horseradish dip tomorrow, I make it extra spicy, so you guys will recognize it also clears
out
your sinuses.
We're not going to say no to chili if you want to bring that in, too.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm not making it till the weekend, so you're just going to have to hold your horses. stop it, because I'm going to want to say bless you to whoever it is that's sneezing and feel like I'm being rude if I'm not. I'm just going to turn off my mic if I have to blow my nose, at least to spare you that. That was a really weird tangent, but it was fun because everyone blows their nose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Leonard says he absolutely loved the Death Star reference in that soundbite. Can we hear it again? This is Brian Cashman. Now remember, Cashman has embraced the evil empire idea for the Yankees in the past. Kind of goes back to the rivalry between the Red Sox and Yankees, but not this current round, more back in the early 2000s, even I would say even before the turn of the century. But it was I can't remember who originally bestowed this on him, but he has embraced it. And
we're a fully operational Death Star.
The only thing we need is to hear the Darth Vader music. So in the background, can we put that together? Brian Cashman, the evil empire, the Death Star comment, and the music, of course. And then I'm all set. That will chase my cold. You know what I have in possession at my house? I felt the need to watch The Last Jedi again. Don't know why. But it's not on TV yet. And I've only seen it twice in the theaters both times. So I decided I needed to watch it on DVD for the third time. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. After Saturday NFL, I will be watching The Last Jedi. See what I mean? This is perfect.
And we're a fully operational Death Star.
That was so
and
perfect.
We're a fully operational Death Star.
He sounds like a droid.
He does. These are not the droids
and
you're looking for.
We're a fully operational Death Star.
Oh my gosh, that's so perfect. And the way he enunciates it, a fully operational Death Star.
And we're a fully operational Death Star.
Not quite like the Emperor, not the same menacing voice. This Death Star is fully operational. Actually, I think he said this space station is fully operational. And then later, the Rebels are exclaiming about how that's a fully operational Death Star.
Operational Death Star.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian Cashman. You provided me with some thrills on this particular edition of the show. All right, so here's the latest from the hot stove before we move back to the NFL. We're talking about Joe Kelly leaving the Boston Red Sox with a World Series ring and going to the team that he pitched so brilliantly against in the Fall Classic. Six scoreless innings versus the Dodgers in the World Series, which means they know firsthand exactly how effective he can be, and they're bringing him in on a 3-year, $25 million contract pending a physical. But this has been reported by multiple sources out of Las Vegas and the winter meetings. The other piece of news that dropped in the last couple of hours since we hit the airwaves is the Jeurys Familia piece. And while it's maybe not a surprise that he's going back to the New York Mets, I did just see the numbers. Hold on. I've got the numbers. Oh, Familia. According to John Heyman, who is an MLB Network insider, Familia got 3 years for $30 million. So he got more than Joe Kelly got from the Dodgers, which I think is interesting. And, you know, Brody Van Wagenen, he is this, he represents the new age of Major League Baseball where you don't actually have to have any general managing experience. Similar, now, I will point out, though, this has been done already in the NBA, right? Rob Pelinka is someone that Magic Johnson knew really well, bit of a business partner, former agent, and now he is serving as a member of that triumvirate in the Lakers front office, along with Jeannie Buss. So it's Jeannie, it's Magic, and it's Rob Pelinka. And Magic decided that he didn't need the basketball expertise because Magic's got that, and he's got a great business acumen, and he wanted Rob because they worked well together in the past. And so Rob is now in that Lakers front office, and here you have Brody Van Wagenen, a bit of a surprise, but in taking over the general manager's job for the New York Mets, and he kind of has big ideas. The sky's the limit because he's always been looking at it from the other side. And also, the fact that he's made a lot of money in his career means that he doesn't necessarily need this job to put food on his table. There's been so much talk about the Mets with the pursuit of JT Realmuto. They may not even be the front runner. I've heard teams like the Dodgers, though the Dodgers are not willing to give up Cody Bellinger. I've heard the Phillies, who would continue to be really active on this free agent market in this hot stove. And so therein has been the piece about Noah Syndergaard. If the Mets desperately want Realmuto, they would have to trade away something really impressive and sparkly and shiny to be able to get not just the Marlins to bite, but potentially to rope in a third team to help them shift all the assets around. And so it's weird how much attention this white hot spotlight has been on the Mets and their catching situation. And you've even had their manager, Mickey Callaway, who's been in Las Vegas, hemming and hawing about how much he likes their current catchers. While then, it's so odd, but Mickey's one of those, forget the glass half full. The glass is always completely full for Mickey Callaway. And I think he's a really happy guy, which is good. Not very realistic all the time, but extremely happy. So Van Wagenen then is talking about Realmuto and everybody else is catching. And it's just kind of become this almost this cult storyline about the Mets and the catchers and whether or not they're going to be able to wrangle JT Realmuto or another catcher to fill that hole.
We've got a really good pitching staff, and so we want somebody that can stabilize that staff, and we've got Travis d'Arnaud and Kevin Plawicki that know our pitchers well because they've come up through the system with a lot of them and there's some familiarity there. But if we can have a veteran presence that can prepare well, give our pitchers confidence in terms of what signals they're putting down and what pitches they're calling, then our pitchers can relax and go be the best versions of themselves. If we can add offense while also accomplishing a veteran presence behind the plate, then that's the Holy Grail.
The Grail, the Holy Grail. He makes a movie reference of his own. It's not as cool as Star Wars, but he refers to the Holy Grail. I was on board with everything he said, and I appreciate that he's much more loquacious than some other general managers around Major League Baseball. But the whole, they can be the best versions of themselves, oh my gosh, is that so 2018? It is probably the most popular phrase that you'll ever see on social media. I need to be the best version of myself. I don't know that there's more than one version of me. Do I make a lot of mistakes? Yes. Do I try every day to make a positive impact and to make the right choices? Absolutely. The best version of myself, it's too exhausting to be more than one version. There's only one of me. This is take it or leave it. And I know many of you choose to leave it, and that's cool. All right. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, coming up next, I am going to reveal to you the answer to the trivia question. There have been guys behind the scenes here at CBS Sports Radio who've been working on this for literally hours. Brian has thrown things around the control room because he's so frustrated with not being able to come up with it. So those of you who have sent me Facebook posts or who've answered on Twitter, this is your last few minutes to try to do it on your own before I blow the whole thing out of the water. All right, so A-Law Radio or Facebook, who are the eight teams in the NFL who have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years? And I would prefer that you not cheat. Of course, if you Google it, that's on you. I hope you find it harder to sleep at night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Fully operational Death Star.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can.
Michael is listening in Eugene.
I wouldn't be calling you if I wasn't woken up by the biggest spider I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, no, don't. No, don't tell me spider stories. Deathly afraid of spiders.
When I looked over the side on the other pillow and he was there looking at me in the face.
No. What?
I caught him with the tennis ball cup thingy that you have the tennis balls in. He's resting comfortably in it right now.
I would have freaked out. I would have run out the door, slammed the door behind me, and never gone back in that room again.
Didn't scream, but I did say, holy cow, that is the biggest spider I've ever seen in my entire life.
You better hope he doesn't have a family, Michael.
I really hope not.
I'm never going to be able to get this image out of my head.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Though not about spiders, preferably. I am deathly afraid of spiders. I'll even take the mice that seem to make their way into my house until they encounter my cat. I'll even take the mice over the spiders. They're not nearly as scary. I'm not nearly as petrified of them. I have done a lot of college basketball games, both on TV and radio, play-by-play and color. And a few years ago, I did a handful of games at Richmond. So it seemed like a few years in a row, I ended up doing games at the University of Richmond campus, and they have a gigantic spider at the middle of their court. And I didn't need to be looking at that while I was doing games, for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm in the middle of writing CBS Sports Minute about Joe Flacco and the switch from Flacco after 11 seasons to now Lamar Jackson, why it makes sense for the Ravens, but also why it's a good business choice for John Harbaugh, who can certainly see the writing on the wall. So I hope that you'll hear that CBS Sports Minute. I've already talked about it on the show here a little bit. Why do I bring up the Ravens again? Well, because the Ravens are one of the 8 teams in the last 3 seasons who have not made the playoffs in the NFL. All right, so you ready for these? I've given you ample time to come up with this, and I was hoping that you wouldn't Google and spoil it. I've seen a lot of you who have responded on Twitter or on Facebook, and I want to give you the answer to the trivia question because it took me quite a while. I would say 10 minutes. I sat with a list of teams in the NFL, not standings. I wasn't Googling the playoff brackets or anything. But as someone who does this for a living, it took me a while, maybe 10 minutes to figure out the 8 teams. The Ravens are definitely one of them. And that's the main reason why the hot seat is maybe feeling even more uncomfortable these last 3 weeks of the regular season for John Harbaugh, because he knows Steve Bisciotti is likely to make a coaching change if they do not reach the postseason again and that drought continues. But that's nothing compared to a team like, say, the Chicago Bears. Do you know the Bears have not made the playoffs since 2010? That surprised me. I knew it had been a while, but I didn't realize that it had been all the way back to 2010. Throughout the John Fox era, quote unquote, they obviously did not make the playoffs, and they've just been bottomed out for a few years until going after Mitch Trubisky, adding pieces to their defense. Now they have an identity again, and it's so much fun to think about January football at Soldier Field. It's been a long time. How about Phillip Rivers on the playoff stage? Do you know that we haven't seen what is now a 37-year-old quarterback since he was a spring chicken? He was 32, and he only had 6 kids at the time. Now he's about to have his 9th child. He and his wife, Tiffany, they've been together since they were in, or they've been, let's say, they've known each other since they were in 8th grade. They've been together since they were in high school. So his wife loves being a mom, and they love having a family, and they're actually awaiting their 9th child. But back the last time the Chargers made the playoffs in 2013, they only had 6. So Chargers, Bears, Ravens, the Browns is a fairly easy one to come up with. They've only been in the playoffs once since the rebirth of their franchise back in 1999. They did make the playoffs in 2002. And this is something else that I discovered in looking back. They only have 1 playoff win So they have no playoff wins since they moved the franchise or got a new franchise there in Cleveland. But they have one playoff win. If you go all the way back, it was like 1994, mid-90s, the last time they had a playoff win. So you're talking about 25 years here for them. Let's see. We'll do the Jets next. That one's also, I think, not as difficult to come up with because you have to go back to the Rex Ryan era, quote unquote. Remember, they were so close to making the playoffs a couple years ago. That was what the first year of Todd Bowles, and it was the Ryan Fitzpatrick year, and they had double figure wins. But was it the Bills? Were they on the road in Buffalo and he threw four interceptions in the fourth quarter or something? I might have the number off a little bit, but I think I remember four interceptions. And so yeah, they were on the verge of making the playoffs, but they threw it away in a flurry of turnovers. And so the Jets were double figure. They had double figure wins. They were a double digit win team that season in the first year of Todd Bowles, but they did not make the playoffs. The Niners have not been there since that great run with Jim Harbaugh. Remember, their 8-8 season was when he and Trent Baalke finally decided that's enough, and he went on to Michigan. But the Niners haven't been there going back to the Colin Kaepernick years. I don't remember exactly when that was. Was it 12, 13? You want to look that up for me just to confirm for me? I think 14 was the year they went 8-8. 8-8. They went, yes, because then they had the awful year, Jim Tom Sula, and it wasn't even his fault. He was like the sacrificial lamb. It's been a mess. Anyway, so the Niners, the Bears, I'm counting them on fingers just like you are. The Niners, the Bears, the Ravens, the Jets, the Browns, the Chargers, that's six. The Bucks have not made the playoffs in a decade. Thus, the Jameis Winston pick a couple years ago as the overall number one. And he was coming out of Florida State, and it seemed as though it was going to be the right fit for the franchise. They even got rid of Lovie Smith, who was more of a defensive guy. They promote their offensive coordinator, Dirk Cutter. And now there's talk that Cutter could be on the way out and that there could be more changes, and that Jameis Winston may not be the franchise quarterback for much longer. So the Bucs are likely not to make the playoffs, and there could be sweeping change at that spot in the NFC South, as well as potentially other teams. So I have heard, there's rumors out there that there could be other NFC South teams who also make changes. It could be a bit of upheaval in that division, but the Bucs have not been in the playoffs in a decade. And then lastly, I think this is one that trips people up. The Indianapolis Colts have not been in the playoffs in the last 3 years. Do you know the last time the Colts were in the postseason? The AFC Championship, 2014 season, and guess what that spawned? Deflategate, remember? So thank God, but it's been more than 3 years now. But yeah, that's the one that a lot of people have a hard time coming up with, because I've gotten Cardinals, but remember, Cardinals with Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians made the postseason a few years ago, and then everybody got hurt and they started Ryan Lindley at quarterback. The Dolphins are another popular pick that you guys have tweeted or Facebooked me, but the Dolphins made the playoffs 2 years ago. Remember, Ryan Tannehill got hurt, and then Matt Moore had to finish out the season. That was that Adam Gase's first year? Might have been Adam Gase's first year. Some of you have said Buffalo, but obviously last year Buffalo made the playoffs. It was the first time this century that the Bills reached the postseason. It'll be a one and done because they are already eliminated this year. The Titans were another team that tripped you up, but the Titans made it last year after not having been there in a long time. And remember, they had that massive comeback on the road in Kansas City. They actually advanced to the second round, the divisional round, because they rallied past Kansas City in the wild card game. I'm trying to think of some other popular picks that you guys didn't get. Let's see. Teams that I heard over and over again of teams that did make the playoffs in the last 3 years, but you had forgotten about them. There are others in there as well. So yeah, I'll try to go through some of your tweets and read some of the more interesting ones.
Touchdown, Buffalo!
But yeah, it's been fun to see all of your responses, because this I know is a pretty difficult trivia question. So yeah, cool stuff. You can always find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So how many did you end up with, Brian? Because I know you've been working on this since literally we started the show 2.5 hours ago.
Technically 8 of 8. I had the Colts originally.
Technically?
And I tried to run it past Dave, and he told me, no, they were in a game.
Hey,
and I crossed it off.
I mean, it's a competition. You don't be checking with your competition
to
find
me.
Out.
He got me.
He knew you were trying to cheat on him, off of him, and so.
He got me, so props to him. But
all right. Here's another one that I heard multiple times, Oakland. But remember, Oakland went to the playoffs 2 years ago. That was the Derek Carr
one
MVP.
One of the worst playoff games of all time.
The Derek Carr MVP. I mean, what, you're 21. What do you know about the worst of all time?
That Texans-Raiders game was just so bad. I would have rather gone back to the interview. I'd rather watch the Teletubbies.
The Texans are another one that people, but they made it two or three years ago. Two years ago? Yeah, they lost to the Patriots, right, a couple years ago. And so, yeah, I ended up seeing a bunch of Oakland and also some of the Texans. But those are your eight right there. Bucks, Bears, Browns, Colts, Chargers, Jets, Niners, Ravens. The eight teams that have not made the playoffs in the last 3 years in the NFL. Time travels fast. Okay, I got to go record a CBS Sports Minute. Oh, just to clarify, to make sure I got it right. The 49ers were in the playoffs 12 and 13. Wait, is that 12 and 13 seasons? Right, okay, good. We talk in NFL seasons here, not the actual date of the January playoff run. So the 49ers made it to the playoffs in the 12 and 13 seasons, and then after that, there was the 8-8 year, and Jim Harbaugh moved on to Michigan. The Bills beat the Jets in that Week 17 game, going back to the 2015 season. And
I'm a Jet.
Yes, it was Ryan Fitzpatrick who threw three interceptions to shoot them in the foot.
I'm a Jet.
And then, yes, Adam Gase, first season that he was in Miami, the Dolphins made the playoffs. It was the Matt Moore postseason start because Ryan Tannehill got hurt. All right? So that's your list. Thank you for playing this fun game of Nerd Alert with me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. First time caller.
Cool.
Love your show.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Amy, for getting me on. You are the best. I think you're brilliant.
Hi, Amy. I love your show. I listen to you on the way home.
Thank
American
you.
American woman. I love that.
Thank you so much, Amy. I'm a huge fan of you. I've been listening to you for so long. I listen to you all the time when I'm on my way home from work.
Hey, Amy, first time caller. Love, love, love your show. You get
Thank
my
you.
Morning started off every day on my way to work.
Awesome.
How you doing, Amy?
Great.
You're well-kept secret. You do an outstanding job, and I'm a big fan of yours.
I appreciate that.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Other popular picks for teams that have not made the playoffs in the NFL in the last three seasons, the Detroit Lions and the Cincinnati Bengals. So a lot of people are telling me the Bengals, but remember, they were there in 2015. The game, the Vontaze Burfict game, the Jeremy Hill game, the fumble, the nasty penalty, the Antonio Brown hit. That was actually the A.J. McCarron game, right? So they came all the way back. Roethlisberger was out that game, wasn't he? Was it Landry Jones? Who was playing that game for the Pittsburgh Steelers? So anyway, I remember it because it was the A.J. McCarron game, and McCarron started and had the Bengals in position to win. They had come back from a double-figure deficit, and then you have the Jeremy Hill fumble after a Vontaze Burfict interception, and then you have this essentially an implosion of the Bengals' defense. They just go nutso. That was also, wasn't Joey Porter on the field? So there's a coach out there on the field for the Steelers. Yeah, it was typical of the Steelers and the Ravens. But that was a game going back to 2015. So yes, the Bengals made the playoffs then. And the Lions were a wild card team back in 2016. They got railroaded by the Seattle Seahawks on the road in the Pacific Northwest. But they were a wild card team which is why Jim Caldwell kept his job for another year. So yeah, it's hard to remember every team that makes the playoffs because you have six in the AFC and six in the NFC, and then some of the games that are not, they're fairly nondescript. You don't necessarily remember the loser. So, oh, Ben played in the game, but Landry Jones was in for a, he was in for a while though. I remember we did get a Landry Jones appearance.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, I appreciate all of your tweets. We had fun with this trivia question. I put it up probably 14 hours ago on Twitter, and I was doing my research from for the column. So I was doing my research from the past to kind of generate my playoff primer that I wrote in my column. Thanks so much for all of you who've read it already, and I know a bunch more of you will read it as we get set for week 15 to kick off on Thursday night at Arrowhead Stadium. I'm really looking forward to this Thursday night game. We've had some pretty impressive matchups in the primetime games. The Monday game notwithstanding, if you don't like defense, well then maybe you weren't super thrilled with what was a, was that a 3-0 game at halftime between the Seahawks and the Vikings? And then it was 6-0 by the time they got early, or I guess it was late third quarter. And just an awful Vikings offensive display and not much better for the Seahawks. But otherwise, it's been pretty cool how the NFL guessed correctly. I mean, some of these are flex games, but for the most part, this schedule was set months and months ago, and yet they've been on the money in terms of the matchups that would get a lot of attention, and maybe thinking ahead to the idea of Jared Goff and Pat Mahomes kind of growing into these roles as young, gunslinging starting quarterbacks in the offenses in which they're in with Andy Reid. But also with Sean McVay and what he's done in retooling the Rams offense. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Maryland. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you, Amy?
I'm
first time caller, or a long time listener.
Thank you.
I got two things I want to tell you. I want to ask you about the Ravens, but I got something that's a little touchy subject with you. Spider. Me and my boy went to Vegas.
Why?
Well, we went to Vegas for a week because we live in Maryland. We've never been there. And we, as soon as we get there, we stayed at the Luxor. And I said, I got to take a nap, son. He said, yeah, me too. So I laid down about 20 minutes. I feel a sting on my stomach. And I looked down. Here's a spider biting me on my stomach.
Ew.
And I smacked it, it's still jiggling. So I real quick picked up the phone, and I said, you got spiders in your place. They sent the man up, took pictures of it, says, we'll take care of you. They took me up to the best suite. First thing I said, are any spiders here? He said,
I'd be demanding my money back. That'd be it. I'm out. I think it's worse to have a spider than bed bugs. Well, I don't know. Both are pretty bad.
Well, we got a deal on that. We got $500 a piece for the whole week and airfare to and from.
Not worth it to me. No way.
Hey, the spider didn't do anything, and we got everything free. We were their guests for the whole week. So that was good. I just wanted to let you know about breaking in with the spider deal first.
Oh.
But I want to ask you about this quarterback, the Ravens, the new guy, Lamar. That's playing. Everybody here in Maryland saying, oh, no, we want Flacco back. I think to myself,
I don't think everybody is. I think some people are. I don't think everybody is because most Ravens fans would tell you they want to win. And now with Lamar under center, the team is 3-1. They're on the verge of the playoffs. So they are sitting there in the sixth seed, though nothing's set in stone. They still have a chance to win the AFC North. I think everyone is an overstatement.
Yes, because a lot of them are, and they got mad when they found out Flacco was going to be second string this week. And this guy, like you said, he's 3-1, and he'd be the best running back. If we get rid of him as a quarterback, we ought to hire him as a running back.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Probably won't, but this guy is good. I've watched him. He can pull stuff out of his hat that I just never seen done before. He's excellent. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on him.
Well, he's excellent for what the Ravens need. What they need to do is to control the ball. What they need to do is to run the ball. And he certainly does add to that. Now, he fumbles too much. He's got a fumbling issue. And that was, while it didn't come back to necessarily bite him in the rear last week late against the Kansas City Chiefs, there was an instance there where you thought, oh no, are you kidding me? Now the game went into overtime, but still the fumbles are a problem. He's got to take care of the football. That's something that he can learn for sure. If he focuses on it, makes it a priority. And while he can throw the football, that's still not his first choice necessarily, and probably not what he does the best. And so I'm a little bit concerned about his long-term viability if he continues to run the ball as much as he does. I don't think that's smart. I think generally quarterbacks who do that, we've seen over the past decade or so, if you're a run-first quarterback, you don't last very long. So I don't know that the Ravens are concerned about his long-term health at this point. I think what they're most concerned about is making the playoffs and thus the change. I actually thought that Harbaugh, I said this on the radio, that Harbaugh would go back to Flacco because of his experience. But having gone into Atlanta and won, having led the team into Kansas City, you can see that Lamar has got a great maturity and a good poise about him. But it's also about the effect on the rest of the team. When they're controlling the ball and dominating time of possession, well, then the defense has fresh legs later in games, which allows them to make better, you know, better decisions, better plays. And so it's a ripple effect because of the ball control. I don't know that I think he's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco, but how do you pull him when they're 3-1 and they're right there in the playoff picture?
This is true. And one other thing, and then I'll let you go. I'm going to see if I can't get you a week at Deluxe for free.
No, thank you. All right, Jim. I appreciate your phone call. Have a great Thursday. Let's talk to Bart, who's in Pittsburgh. Bart, welcome to After Hours.
Come on. Thank you so much for taking my call this morning.
You're welcome.
I love the show. I just wanted to talk about, I'm one of the few people that watches the NFL that still really loves a great defense.
Good for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And it's not just a great defense. It's a great defense versus what is considered a great offense. And that Bears-Rams game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan of either team, but I love football, so I watch. To see what that defense can do now with the Khalil Mack in the mix is something special. And I thought, there was attention paid in it, or paid towards the game with what the Bears were able to do to Gurley, to Goff. But with it being such an offensively driven game, it was good to see a team like the Bears really put a wall in front of the Rams offense, which nobody really has done all year. My other point is you mentioned Mahomes and Goff, and I agree with you. I think that they're clearly two young and exciting quarterbacks for the future. However, I say this. I think Mahomes will end up being great. And I think Jared Goff will just end up being really good. And I'm going to hang up and I'll listen to your thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Bart. I appreciate your call from Pittsburgh. Thanks so much for listening. I mean, there's no way to know that, right? It's still a team game, number one. And a lot of how we evaluate our quarterbacks has to do with what they do in the playoffs. Let's just be honest. And so Tom Brady, he is evaluated based on the rings and based on the fact that the team has won the Super Bowl so many times. Now, is he extremely smart? Has he managed to remain in great shape? And has he learned how to not get hit? I mean, all these things. Can he read defenses? Yes. That experience and that wisdom is incredible. Same thing that we get with a Drew Brees. But it's about the rings, and you do not win rings on your own. Hello, Adam Vinatieri, and I could go on and on. But anyway, so we tend to evaluate our quarterbacks based on the strength of a team. I think it's too early to say one or the other is going to be great. I do think Mahomes may end up with more touchdown passes, but what if one of them gets hurt? Hate to think about a season-ending or career-ending injury or something that would keep them off the field, but that's always a possibility in football. Maybe a couple of hits to the head. Those are all very real possibilities, which means that you can never take for granted the long-term success of a player in the NFL. I hope that it's a rivalry we get for years and years. That would be awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.